If you could turn with me this morning to the second letter of Peter, chapter 1. The passage we will be considering will be verses 12 through to 15, but the reading will go all the way down to verse 21. Let us hear the word of God together. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort, so that after my departure you may be able at any time to recall these things. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honour and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. To forget is a tendency of being human. The condition of forgetfulness can be frustrating and even embarrassing at times. We forget items on a shopping list. Stickers or tags are left on our brand new clothes. We forget to check the mail. We forget to turn lights off. Sometimes we even forget special occasions, appointments, and most embarrassingly, we even forget people's names. But of course, as Christians, we have the code language for that. We can refer to one another as brother and sister, but you all know what we mean when we say that. We do very easily forget. Now, there are many things that we are able to do to help trigger our memory, to help us recall things. These devices and strategies can be seen in things like writing a post-it note. Of course, we can accumulate so many of them on our desk, all of a sudden it becomes more confusing rather than actually helping us remember what we should be remembering. We tie a piece of string to one of our fingers, but more often than not, we are wondering what this piece of string is even representing. We write on our hands, but in our nerves, our palms can sweat and the information can go. Well, all of these devices and practices can be very helpful, but at the end of the day, as helpful as they may be, they do not eradicate the human tendency of forgetfulness. But there is a kind of forgetfulness that is far worse than forgetting an item on a shopping list, forgetting about the stickers or tags on new clothes. The kind of forgetfulness that is far worse than this is forgetting what God has said in his word and forgetting what God has done in our lives. Forgetfulness of biblical truth is one of the reasons why we can be troubled by bad teaching and even why we can become overwhelmed by temptation. Now, it makes it very difficult that we live in a society in which there is an obsession for something innovative or something new. Now, don't get me wrong, it's not always wrong to be innovative and it's not always wrong to be new. Sometimes it is necessary and other times it is extremely helpful to do such things. But this obsession can be bad when it leads people away from old, timeless truth in place of chasing after something new. Throughout Scripture, God's people are called to remember and not forget. Numerous examples are given of the terrible outcome for those that forget God's word. Now, here are just a few reminders this morning that we can glean from Scripture concerning the importance of not forgetting the things of God, remembering His ways. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9, we read, "Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children." Again, Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, "Stand by the roads and look, and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it, and find rest for your souls." Interestingly, that is the text where J.C. Ryle's book, Old Paths, had come from. In that book, he addresses core doctrines that we as the people of God must not abandon, must build our lives upon. Well, these are just some passages that we can look to in the Old Testament concerning the importance of not forgetting what the Lord has said. But even as we look at various practices in Scripture, we see the importance of being reminded. In the Old Testament, there was the annual practice of the Passover, and in addition to being a picture of Christ's future work of salvation that He achieves for us at the cross, the annual practice of Passover was also designed to be a reminder of God's great deliverance of His people from Egypt. Even for us today, the regular practice of communion is also given for the purpose of being reminded of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here in our congregation, as we celebrate the Lord's table together every month, we are remembering. We do this in remembrance of Him. So it's clear then that being reminded of God's word is of utmost importance for God's people. For this reason, in the four verses that we're going to be looking at this morning from 2 Peter 1, verses 12 to 15, we will be considering a reminder of Peter in which he reminds his readers of the importance of being reminded. And it's this very basic concept that we're going to be considering in this passage. But it's interesting that this text that we will be looking at really is somewhat of a purpose statement of this entire book, because this is why Peter is writing this letter to his readers. He would have them remember. His desire is to see them grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The theme of chapter 1 is for his readers to remember the Scriptures. In chapter 2, to recognize the swindlers. And in chapter 3, to respond to the second coming. Well, in this message this morning, as we look at verses 12 to 15 together, we will consider three principles that will help us understand the importance of being reminded. So let's begin with the very first one. It's found in verse 12, and that is the recipients of the reminder. This passage begins with Peter's intention to remind his readers of the basic truths of salvation. He writes, "Therefore I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have." The qualities that Peter is referring to here are the things that he has written about in the previous 11 verses. In these opening 11 verses, these qualities that he speaks of includes things like the fact that we are saved by the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Back in verse 1, he says, "To those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ." As the people of God, we have an equal standing in our salvation because the righteousness of Christ is what clothes us. And this is what Peter would have his readers be reminded of. He goes on to state in verses 3 to 4 that Christ is the source for our spiritual growth because His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. He goes on to state that if we're going to grow spiritually, we not only depend upon Christ, who is the resource and the source of all our abilities to grow in Him, but we need to recognize our responsibility in supplementing our faith with seven qualities. And we learnt about them in verses 5 to 7. He makes the point that you are to make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. And finally, he states in verses 8 to 10 that there is a satisfaction now and in eternity for those who live according to such things. The satisfaction is seen in the present as we pursue these godly virtues and are growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ. This confirms our calling and election, thus providing us with assurance of faith. But also we are told that there will be richly provided for us an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in verse 11. So it's interesting to note that Peter doesn't address this reminder to only those who are young in the faith. It's not as if Peter begins by saying, "Listen, I have a reminder, and this is for you young converts. This is for you who are young in the faith." No. You'll notice that it is addressed to all of his readers. And these readers are the ones that we were introduced to back in 1 Peter chapter 1, where he addresses it to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. This is for all believers. The reminder that Peter begins with here is a reminder for all Christians. From this verse, we learn the opening principle. And the principle is that it doesn't matter if you are young or old in the faith, you need to be reminded of these truths. And even though Peter recognized that his readers knew the truth, because he goes on to state in the second half of verse 12, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have, he still finds it necessary that they be reminded of it. Why is this the case? Why does Peter make it his point that it is necessary that all of his readers, young and old and in between, be reminded of the basic gospel truths mentioned in these opening 11 verses? Well, the answer is simple. Things can very easily distract us. And then slowly and yet surely, we are being led away from gospel living. We can fall into all sorts of traps of extremes in our thinking. We can be lazy. All of these things can contribute to distractions that stop us from remembering what we ought to be remembering. The importance of being reminded of the basic truths of salvation is relevant for all Christians. It doesn't matter if you're a young believer or a mature believer, all Christians need to be reminded regularly. So verse 12 is the opening verse giving us a loud and serious reminder for all of us to be about the practice and discipline of being reminded of basic gospel truth. Now, this now brings me to my second point, and that is the reason for the reminder, verses 13 to 14. Why does Peter make such a passionate effort to constantly remind his readers of the basic truths of the gospel? Well, the reason is because Peter knows that he doesn't have much more time in this life. Notice what he says in verses 13 to 14. "I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me." Now, it's interesting that Peter refers to his body twice here as literally a tabernacle or a tent. Here, Peter is viewing his physical body, this life that he is living right now, as a temporary dwelling by calling it a tent. Now, we kind of get the understanding of this when we think of camping trips. We know what it is to set up a tent We go camping and we include in our tent a certain number of necessities. Of course, in our modern age, these necessities are certainly including luxuries these days. But nonetheless, we hop in this temporary dwelling. We recognize that this is not our permanent home. Even after a few nights of sleeping in an awkward spot, perhaps lying on a stick for a few nights, having a sore back, having to put up with the cold weather, the zip having to be opened and closed, if it's raining, some of the water coming into the tent, we think through all of these things and we recognize that this is only temporary. This tent is going to be packed up soon. Because at the end of the trip, you start packing it up. And as you pull up the tent pegs, pull out the poles and begin to fold this tent, you're setting your sight on home. You're going to get in your car and you're able to think about, in your home, a comfortable bed, a clean shower, and even other items. This tent that you were living in was only temporary. And we need to remember, when it comes to our earthly life now, we are only living in a temporary dwelling. This world is not our home. We are passing through. This body that we have right now is simply a tent. One day, it will be pulled down. And our Lord Jesus Christ is preparing a place for us in his eternal kingdom, and it's there we will dwell for all eternity. Now, Peter recognizes that this body that he has is a tent. It is going to be pulled down soon. But he also understood that he hasn't got very long. In verse 14, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. Back in John 21, when Jesus had one of his post-resurrection appearances to his disciples, was walking along the beach with Peter, and in that particular story, he tells Peter about his future death. He speaks of a death by means of crucifixion, and according to early church tradition, that's exactly how Peter died. According to the story, Peter requested that he would be crucified upside down because he did not feel that he was worthy to die the same way as his Lord had died. So Jesus certainly had warned Peter that he was going to die in this manner. And perhaps our Lord had revealed further information to Peter concerning the timing of this event. However it came about, Peter recognized that Jesus had made it clear to him that he was going to die soon. This was the perspective that Peter had. He understood that his remaining time in this world is short. He's going to have to pack up his tent soon. The pegs are being pulled out. The poles are beginning to be pulled down. And as he's about this process of packing it up, he recognized that he was about to depart. Now that language that Peter's using, referring to his life as a tent, speaking of a departure in which he will have an exodus, in where he will be with the Lord in heaven, shows an amazing perspective concerning death. And I think there are some profound lessons in this for us. The topic of death is something that doesn't get discussed very often in our society. Sure, we acknowledge death from time to time, but generally it's avoided. As Christians, we need to learn to think biblically on the topic of death, as we ought to be thinking in all subjects. Physical death for the believer is a separation of the soul from the body in which they are with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. The Apostle Paul had said to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. And when we lose a loved one, it is certainly true that it is a horrible tragedy. The excruciating experience of loss will result in grief, which of course is a normal process in which an individual displays sorrow and anguish as a result of loss. It's a painful experience that tears someone apart emotionally. Death is something that touches us all, be it through the loss of a loved one or one day our own death. But what does the Bible say about death, especially regarding believers? Well, let me just quickly give you 3 points. Death, first of all, is in existence. It is real. Death is an undeniable reality. It came into existence as the result of sin committed by Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and the punishment of this sin was death. And because of sin, death is in existence and is now a normal part of life. But secondly, death is an enemy. Though death exists and is a normal part of life, it's not actually a natural part of life. Death is the consequence of sin. It is an ugly and horrible experience. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 26, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. It is an enemy, and it really provides us with a picture of how despicable sin is. But for the believer, we need to understand a third point. Death is an entrance. Despite how horrible death is, for the Christian, death is an entrance to glory. How does a believer go from life here on earth to life in heaven? Well, with the exception of Enoch, Elijah, and those who are alive at the time of our Lord's return, death is an entrance to glory. When it comes to the death of God's people, the Bible says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Psalm 116, verse 15. What happens when a believer dies? It's the clear teaching of Scripture that the moment this takes place, their soul is instantly with the Lord in heaven. So we need to understand these things concerning death. But the point that Peter is making here is he not only provides us with biblical thinking concerning death, but he reminds his readers that life is short. And it's important for us to be reminded of the truth of Scripture because we don't know how long we have. We don't know how long we have in a healthy body. We don't know how long we have with the freedoms that we have right now. So we need to be making the most of our time now, reminding ourselves of the great truths of the Word of God, so that when we are faced with a situation that may bring hardship or tragedy or difficulty along our pathway, we are ready to draw upon the basic truths of the Word of God. Now, right now, we find ourselves in the midst of something very special happening in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. It is the 2016 Olympiad, and I thought this is a great occasion to be able to give you a little bit of an illustration concerning something that happened in Rio de Janeiro, but not in this Olympics, back in 1557. Back at that time, there were a number of believers who had left Geneva under the influence of John Calvin. These believers made a journey to Brazil, and there they went on this journey with the view of a mission. And along the way, this group was led by a particular leader who was a wealthy businessman. And as they had made it over to Rio de Janeiro, the leader of this group had abandoned biblical Christianity, Protestantism, and had embraced his former understanding and beliefs of Roman Catholicism. What then happened as a result of this was that he had the other men that went on this journey with him arrested. And as they were arrested, they were charged with all sorts of things, including treason. Now, as they were arrested, they were then locked up, and they were then told that they were given 4 hours to write down all their beliefs on a list of paper, on a piece of paper. And it was a closed book exam, so to speak. They couldn't have access to a Bible, and they were then told that if they were Roman Catholic in their confession, they would live, but they would be sent back home. But if they were not, they'd be killed. Well, it's very interesting, as this process happens, the final product was actually a confession of faith that is still in existence today. But what was stunning is as these men penned this document, they expressed in biblical fashion, quoting scripture verse after scripture verse, revealing sound biblical doctrine. But all of this was growing out of a memorized verse of 1 Peter 3:15, in which they spoke concerning the hope that is within them. And the sad reality was, at the end of this time, they were released, and very soon after being released, three of them had lost their lives. Now, this story certainly illustrates for us the power and influence Scripture, hidden in our hearts, can do and provide for us in such a time as that. It may not have led, for some of them, an earthly success, but it left a legacy in which many people after this would be blessed and built up by the truth of the Word of God. But the Word of God was written upon their hearts, and they were able to recall the things that they had learnt. As we return to 2 Peter, we need to be reminded that death is a reality. Life here on earth is temporary. Our life is evanescent. It is like a mist that is there in the morning and then quickly fades away. Well, knowing that our life is short, knowing that it is brief, we need to be reminded of the truths of the Word of God. This is why Peter writes with this passion. He writes because he knows that his time is short. But the reality is, we don't know how long we have either. So we ought to give ourselves to the reminder of all the truths of God's Word, that we may be ready and equipped. Well, this brings me now to my final point, and that is the repetition of the reminder, and that is found in verse 15. Because it is necessary that all God's people be reminded of basic gospel truth, and because life is short, Peter shares his urgent and committed desire. He states in verse 15, "And I will make every effort so that after my departure you may be able at any time to recall these things." In this final verse of our passage, we are reminded of the importance of the repetition of reminders. Peter's goal is to clearly and consistently bring the truths of God's Word before his readers so that they will be able to recall them at any time. He wants them to be constantly exposed to truth so that when they are facing all sorts of situations, perhaps a situation in false teaching is trying to intimidate them, or they are facing a scenario in which they're going to be tempted to sin. The fact that they have been so exposed to truth is to equip them so that they may respond biblically to the situation. You'll notice Peter states that he is committing himself to make every effort to remind his readers of these things. And back in verse 5, this is what we are actually commanded to do as God's people when it comes to spiritual growth. We are to make every effort to supplement our faith with, and then he gives the list of virtues. So as Peter is committed to the task of constantly and regularly reminding his readers of the truth, we also are to be committed to such tasks. Now, how is this done? Practically speaking, how do we go about the effort of blood, sweat, and tears, so to speak, in which we will be reminding ourselves of the truth of God's Word? Well, we need to make a commitment to read the truths of God's Word regularly. For some people, this can be done by picking up a Bible program in which you read through the Bible in a year. For others, it can focus on a particular section of Scripture. However it is done, we as God's people need to regularly expose ourselves to the reading of the Word of God. We also need to pray these truths. We need to sing these truths. We need to hear these truths preached. We need to memorize these truths. We need to live these truths. And by immersing ourselves in truth will help us to be able to recall these things at any time. You see, it's so easy for us to be distracted by the things of this world that do not ultimately matter. There can be a lot of activities in our life that aren't sinful in and of themselves, but they can provide such a huge distraction. We can fill our lives with entertainment and knowledge, but when we die, what do we have to show for it? I'm reminded of John Piper, who uses as the illustration a person who in their retirement spends all their time collecting seashells. And he makes the point that when they stand before God, what are they going to say? Look, Lord, look at all my shells. There's no lasting value to that. We can be so distracted by trivial things. Now, there are things that will distract me that might not distract you. So we're not called to be legalistic about this and place my expectations upon you and you upon me. But we all do need to come before the Lord and ask Him to show us through the Holy Spirit the areas in our life in which we are focusing on things that are distracting us from the basic truths of the Word of God. We need to remove these things. Martin Lloyd-Jones speaks with great insight when he says, quote, "The primary business of the Christian church and of her message and her preaching is not to indulge in vague general statements. It is to repeat the centralities of the Christian gospel, to remind men and women of the truth of God as it is in Christ Jesus," end quote. That's what we are to be focused on. We need to repeatedly remind ourselves of the basic truths of the gospel so that we can be equipped and ready to honor our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't know what is tomorrow. Well, in this message, we have learned that all Christians, both old and young, need to be reminded. It is a necessity. And the reason why this reminder is so important is because time is short. Our tent will be folded away soon. We must consistently be reminded of the solid truths of God's Word so that we can recall them at any time and grow in grace. Well, by God's grace, let it be our resolve, in the words of Psalm 119 and verse 93, "I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life."